also holding the parshas of Kabbalah the Torah. So there is a very fascinating Gemara. The Gemara in Shabbos Peches Medalev discusses a very strange cryptic line. The Gemara says, Darish Havub Lilo, a person from the Galil, said the following pshat. Brich Rachmana, we give a thanks to the Rabbanu Shalom, the Yoiv Aran to Lisa. What does that mean? He gave a threefold Torah. So Rashi explains what does that mean. Torah Nevi'im Ksuv, three parts of the Torah. And he gave it La'am to Lisa. He gave it to a nation that's comprised of three parts. Rashi says, Kohan Levi'im Yisrael. And he also gave it Ayudei to Lisa. He gave it to the third son, Moshe Rabbeinu. There's three kids in the family. Moshe Rabbeinu is the third. Says the Gemara B'yom to Lisa. He gives it on the third day. Does anybody know what day the Torah was given?
Shabbos.
It was not on Gimel Sivan. So what does this mean? So Rashi says it was on the third day of the Shloshes Yemei Hagbalah. Okay, so that's what this means. And it was B'yarcha to Lisa. It was given in the third month. B'chodesh HaShlishi is Sivan. That's the passing of Parshas Yisro. So the Gemara says there's some sort of strange emphasis on the number three. So the Maharal writes in his Pirish on Pirkei Avos, he says on HaShlishi Dvar Ma'alam Omed, a bunch of things that are 3, 3, 3. So says the Maharal, what's the story with three? Why are we so caught up with the number three? So the Maharal explains that if you draw a triangle, a perfect triangle, he says you plot one point over here, one point over there. So now they're going to be on two opposite extremes, pulling at each other. And then you plot the third point directly in between the other two points. Says the Maharal, that's the way you make a perfect triangle. So he says, if you want to know how a person should lead his life, so he says, sometimes you have forces pulling you in this direction, sometimes you have forces pulling you in that direction. Many different things that a person can be doing in his life. But he said, the third point always has to be, the equilibrium in life always has to be the Torah. That's going to be the third plot in the triangle, and that's the only way that a person will really have a very balanced lifestyle. So he said, that's why over here, specifically the Torah, is given to the third nation. It's made up of three different parts, and it's given on the third day of the month. It's given on the third month. It's given by the third sun. Everything's 3, 3, 3. In fact, Rav Moshe Feinstein is famous for explaining that the Gemara says in Megillah, Tzadikim are nimshalu lahadasim. So why Tzadikim nimshalu lahadasim? The Gemara learns that from Esther. Her name was Hadassah. So Rav Moshe Feinstein explains it's because Hadassim always have to be Mishulashim. Hadassim have to be very balanced. They have to be three. So three is always our way of talking about a balance. Someone just told me that in earth science, apparently, when you're trying to figure out, anyone here, earth science? Apparently, when you're trying to figure out the epicenter of an earthquake, so you need exactly 3 points in order to figure out where the epicenter of an earthquake is. And that's why, because if you want to figure out exactly how to make a perfect balance in life, it always has to be with three. So I just want to talk for a few minutes about how to make our lives balanced. I grew up in a family where we see my father. Many of us get to enjoy this about him also, that he's extremely, extremely balanced. Never gets too excited, never gets too depressed. It's a very interesting thing. So I just want to talk about that for a few minutes. The Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Chaf Hamid Beis, says the following. Kachai min hagash Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Loi. Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Loi is the famous Tana, Rabbi Yehuda, in all of Shas. So the Gemara says over there, Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Loi, Erev Shabbos, it tells a very dynamic story about Rabbi Yehuda. Used to take a shower, and he would get all ready Friday afternoon. All the Talmidim were watching him get ready, make a hanas for Shabbos, and he used to put on these beautiful clothing, and he used to sit there in his talis and wait for Shabbos, likra Shabbos Hamalka. And the Gemara tells us that as the Talmidim were watching him, and he made all his hanas, and finally he was ready, so the Gemara says, in the end, he was panav darma l'malach Hashem tzivakos. Gemara says he put himself so in the mood, he was on such a madrega when he got ready for Shabbos, he put himself mamish like a malach Hashem tzivakos. People who passed by thought it was a malach sitting in. So that's Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Loi. So this is the same Rabbi Yehuda. He's the Talmud of Rabbi Kiva. This is the Rabbi Yehuda who is quoted in almost every Masechet and Shas other than Kinim, if I'm not mistaken. So the Gemara tells us about Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Loi, this is the way he got himself into the mood. Okay, so you might think that Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Loi is a person who is very spiritual. He's a person who knows how to get into things. Yet, if you look in the Gemara, it says in Moed Katan, I'm sorry, in Tainus Daf Lamed, so the Gemara over there tells us how did Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Loi act on Erev Tishah B'av. Anyone know this Gemara? So the Gemara says, Tainus Daf Lamed, Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Loi used to sit in between the Tana B'Kiraim. He would sit on the floor, take off his shoes, and his clothing were all black. And he would smear some ashes on his face, and he would sit there, and the Gemara says he was Panav Doima L'misha Mesa Mutalafan. How much did Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Loi get in the mood of Tisha B'av? How much did he feel it? How much of a Baal Hergish was he? So the Gemara says, he put himself enough in the mood that it looked like it was a person who just lost his relative and he's sitting in the funeral parlor waiting for the Hespedim to start. That's what Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Loi looked like. So this is the type of person that's quoted in every single Masechta and Shas. Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Lo, who on the one hand knows how to get into spirituality, he knows how to put himself in the mood for Shabbos. On the other hand, he knows how to put himself in the mood for an experience like a Tisha B'Av and how to really experience it in the proper way. This is a balanced person. So I thought maybe that's why the Gemara tells us that Rabbi Yehuda is the Rosh HaMadabrim B'chol Makom. Why is Rabbi Yehuda the Rosh HaMadabrim B'chol Makom? Why him? Plenty of Tanaim who were in the same league as he was, plenty of Talmidim who were learning together with him. Why Rabbi Yehuda? The pshat is because sometimes you have a personality who gets too excited. Sometimes you have a personality who gets too depressed. So he's not going to be the right person to pass in the Shaila in both situations. Sometimes he's going to be tilted in one direction because that's his personal slant in life. Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Lai, who showed us that in both types of scenarios, he can put himself in the same exact mood. He can be depressed as he's supposed to be on Tisha B'Av. He could be mamish like a malach. He could be spiritual when he has to be on Shabbos. So that's why the Gemara tells us that Rabbi Yehuda is the Rosh HaMadabrim M'chol Makom. He is the person. He's the balanced personality, the perfect type of person that we want to paskin our Shabbos, to be the Rosh HaMadabrim M'chol Makom. He's the one that we want speaking for us in every scenario. So how do we make sure that we can become balanced in our own life? So number one, I think it's two different things. Number one, I see we only have 2 minutes, but this may be 3 minutes.
Right, okay. 6:14 minutes.
Okay. So number one is the following. I think the first thing we obviously need is self-awareness. If a person does not have self-awareness, it's very difficult to understand whether or not you're balanced. You don't really know where you're holding. So Rabbi Kahn said a few months ago the following mashal. He was talking to the Beis Medrash. He said a beautiful mashal, and I think it really brings out a point of self-awareness. He says, you know, a couple, I'm just embellishing the story a little bit. So he says, a couple decides they're going to treat themselves. They're going to go out to a fancy restaurant in the middle of the city, and they get there and they get a beautiful table and the lights are dim and there's classical music playing in the background and the food just smells delicious and everything. They're very into the situation. Okay, then a few minutes go by and lo and behold, they're enjoying the ambiance of this restaurant, and lo and behold, a few minutes go by and a waiter bangs into the light switch and all of a sudden the lights go on. So it's a very uncomfortable thing when everyone's sitting comfortably and it's dim. See what's going on, but okay, so the lights go on. So this couple starts looking around the room and they see mice and rats running in and out of the tables, up and down people's shoes, and they see these cracks in the wall with water leaking out of the walls. They see dinner from the last few nights is strewn all over the floor. It's disgusting. It's disgusting what they're seeing, what's going on. So this couple, what started off as a beautiful experience, as a night out for the couple to really enjoy themselves, ended up being an absolute horrible experience. They can't handle it. Why? All because of what? Everything was there beforehand. All because all they needed was to turn on the lights. So sometimes all we're missing, we can be living in a fantasy and we have no awareness of where we're actually holding. Sometimes all we need is just to turn on the lights. It's just that one simple thing. You need a waiter to knock into the light switch, and that's going to change your whole perspective to realize what the context of the environment that you're involved in. So that's number one. I think to make ourselves balanced people, we need to, number one, understand exactly where we're holding. We have to have an awareness of what we're up to and what's going on around us. It's not good enough just to live in this facade and this fantasy and make pretend like that's like everything's fine and that we have it all under control. So that's number one. I think number two, how do we make sure to have this balance? I just saw recently a beautiful idea from the Panavijay Rabbi. Tanav Israel apparently was talking to a group of Talmidim who were leaving yeshiva and going to work. So they asked him, how do we make sure? He said, the whole time we were in yeshiva, we were in a certain environment, and we always knew that the decisions we're making are probably going to be the right type of decisions in the right directions. Tanav Israel was asked, how do we know when we're not in this cocoon anymore, when we're not in this environment, how are we going to know to make the right choices and decisions in life? So Tanav Israel responded the following. He said, imagine for a minute you have an architect who draws up the plans for a building, and he sends the builders to go put down the first two rows of bricks. So they put it down, architect comes back at night to come check out on the building, he says, yeah, it looks great, okay, good enough, continue, go to the next row of bricks. Imagine what this building's going to look like. It's going to get 5-10 feet off the ground. It's going to be slanted in a totally different direction. So the Panavijay Rabbi said, no architect would be that foolish just to look at it and say, yeah, it's straight. So what does he do? Okay, so the architect comes back the next day, and he brings his little two-year-old child's ruler, and he starts looking, measuring, yeah, okay, looks straight enough, good enough, continue building. It's also a fool. If it's even off by one little, you know, centimeter, the whole building, once you get 100 feet off the ground, the whole building's going to collapse. So the Panvizhrov said, what does an architect do? Architect has to take his special equipment, take that ruler that has a, I think it's called a level, right, with the water on it. He has to take the equipment that's made to measure perfectly, exactly, is this thing straight or not? So he has to take the level on his ruler and make sure that everything that the builders have done is exactly done and aligned properly. Said the Panvizhrov, what do you call a level in Hebrew? He said a level is anach, aleph nun chaf. So the Panvizhrov said a person wants to know if he's balanced. He wants to know how to balance himself and how to make sure his anach, his equalizer, and his equilibrium is really in the right direction, is really in the right place. So he says, ha-anach shali, anochi, my anach in life has to be Hashem Lekech. What's going to drive every decision that I do in my life, what's going to determine the outcome of every single choice that I have to make has to be ha-anach shali, my equilibrium in life has to be the Hashem Lekech. So that's the way a person can assure that everything he does in his life is balanced. If he always keeps that, he said he can have many things pushing you in many different directions. A person could say, well, I have this consideration and that consideration, but bottom line, if the consideration is not going to be based on Hashem Elokecha, then the when you get 100 feet off the ground, the building's going to fall down. It's not going to be standing up on proper yisurus. That's just a couple of thoughts. Likras, Yimei Kabbalah Satar. Have a wonderful day.